from the Kiss 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, it's like charades, but only using a mouth. That's all you get to figure it out. It's a little bit tricky without a doubt. If you didn't know, now you know what it's about. It's time to play Mouth Charades, the best game you've ever played. It's time to play Mouth Charades. If you can figure it out, then you've got it made.
Yes.
Fun fact, Roz's favorite game that we play here on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Yeah. Mouth Charades, a.k.a. The Fix Is In. The jig is up.
Calm down with the excitement, Roz.
So mouth charades, very much like traditional charades, only the clues are given by only sounds. You can only use your mouth, so no moving around, sort of no motioning, pantomiming, anything like that. Damn it, Maury, once again, will be the clue giver. It is myself, Roz, against Mocha. If you've not heard this before, you will clearly realize very early on into this when I say the fix is in, and I don't know how they do it because we go out of our way to randomize all of this. So I don't know exactly how it happens, but cheating happens.
Nope.
Why don't we just let the people decide then? Okay.
Sure.
Why don't we?
You already told them.
Why don't we let the people decide?
I just think that you don't like losing.
I hate losing.
Yeah, and you like historically lose this game.
No,
like,
I just
big
don't.
Time.
No. I don't mind losing. I really don't. But I like losing. If I'm going to lose, I like to lose fair. Okay. And I just don't think that this is fair.
Well, because of that, I don't think you have your head in the game.
Oh my God.
Wow. So we each get like 20 seconds to give our answer. Yeah. 20 seconds is signified by a ding and then ended by a double buzz.
Okay, so
we use my mouth. You said that?
Yes, we use your mouth more. Your mouth is the clue giver. So here we go.
Well, I guess
who's up first?
You, because you're still losing.
Okay, I'm up first. Right, you're right. Because did I lose the last one?
Well, you lose all of them.
Okay, never mind. Shut up.
You lose all of them.
Maury, you're the clue giver. You should not be this salty towards me, man. You should be neutral.
I mean, good for you.
Like, taupe.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Like a hiccup. Oh, like you are throwing... You're lifting weights. I don't know. What is it?
Body hitting the floor.
Oh, wow.
It sounded like you were saying the word thumb.
Yeah.
Is the body?
Yeah.
Thumb. Is the floor.
Okay. He thumb. That's not what a body, like, and again, I'll say this. I think I get crap clues. Like, when you listen to the clues Maury gives me, they're absolute crap. When you listen to the clues that Maury gives Mocha, I would say they're on a much better level of clue giving. Okay, so here we go. Mocha, your turn.
Okay.
Laughing, giggling, being tickled. A spirit, a ghost, a baby ghost.
Yeah! Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
Guys,
I was literally just...
Wow!
I had no idea. That was just a guess. I promise, guys.
Okay, hold on a second here.
Guys, I promise. That was not like legit.
Good for you.
First of all, who is the sick person who put baby ghosts
like,
as a clue?
That wasn't
for
even
this
serious.
Game.
Just so you know,
that's
honestly,
the real mystery in all of this.
Honestly, I was just joke guessing.
Who?
I didn't even think.
Right mind on a family show
that is
in a charades competition.
Yeah.
Puts baby ghosts.
How about the guy that guesses baby ghosts?
I'll get to that later.
That is disrespectful on like so many levels.
I think it's
honestly,
weirder
guys.
That you guessed it.
So do you want to forfeit the point then?
Hell no.
Okay. My turn. Bring it to me, Maury.
All right, ready?
Bring it to me. Bloop. Bloop. That is dripping. that it's water. It's water dripping. It's something dripping that is like that. Okay, so it's water. Water dripping. It's water dripping into a deep like barrel. Water in a barrel.
Water slowly dripping from a faucet.
Oh my God! Oh my God.
I don't know how you didn't get. I went. Like it's slow.
I mean, he said when you, water dripping.
Maury, okay, but here's the thing, Maury. When you do something like, that is, that's a very human sound. Okay, so I immediately think that it's a person. Like when you make sounds humans would make, I think that this sound is coming from an individual. Faucets don't go.
No, that's the water right? Slowly coming out of the, how like it's.
Ah, the hell with it. Screw it. Okay, go, Mocha, your turn.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, that is eating, chewing, popping a balloon. Oh, sorry. I was knuckle cracking.
Yes.
That is.
Oh, yeah, boom. My God.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Boom,
guys, you know what happened?
Shut up. Yeah. Shut up.
Shem, you can attest to this. Look, I was not. Look, I was literally cracking my knuckles at the exact same time.
Yeah. Inspiration.
Yeah.
Shem, you're the judge.
No, I'm just
and
saying.
It matched what I did. And when you did that, it matched what I did.
I was literally just cracking my knuckles just because I was trying to figure out.
Okay.
Because I always crack my knuckles whenever we play this game. Okay. And I just said it.
Okay. Truth be told, I was watching you crack your knuckles.
Okay, next, wow. Roz.
Oh, blech.
Oh.
Ugh, blech.
Oh.
Ugh, blech.
Okay, that is eating something terrible.
Blech.
That is spitting something out.
Ugh, blech.
That is exhausted from eating blech. Bad things.
Ugh, blech.
That is, that is when you that's eating blech. A fart. Eating a fart is my blech, final answer. Blech. It's blech, not eating blech. A fart. What is that?
Roz making the ugh, blech noise.
Oh my God. What? That doesn't even sound like Roz.
That's yes, it does.
Wow.
Ugh, ugh.
Wow. You got. I swear
and that's
to
how
God.
You know the fix is not in. I it swear was to you.
God. I swear to. Okay, let's do Mocha's last word then.
Oh my God.
Ready?
Go.
Oh.
Screaming, falling down, you're hurt, you are in so much pain, you are just hurting, you are about to die, you're dying.
Yes!
Oh, wow! Buzzer beater!
Maury, can you hold up that
buzzer
word? I need Shem. Beater. Shem is the judge. Can you read? Hold that up, Maury. I need to make sure that you guys are. When you hold it up to Shem, what does that say?
Shem has. He can see on the camera.
Oh, that, that says dying.
Oh, for God's sake.
Joe, buzzer beater.
Which prison did we go to get these clues made? We have dying, ghost baby, and cracking knuckles. Okay. Which hard timer came up with these clues today? All right.
Yeah, that's how we play Mouse Charades. Just to recap the score once again, Shem.
3-0 for Mocha.
Hey!
Stop it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Shem, you wear the necklace on the outside of the shirt, huh?
I do. I like it. I figure, you know, if I'm going to wear it, I want people to see it. You
yeah,
know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And if I had if I had some chest hair, I'd wear, you know, like a button down.
Have you ever worn a button down? Without a shirt on, without a shirt underneath it?
Yeah.
You ever shown chest?
To church, actually.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Hold on. Yeah. Button down, no undershirt.
Yeah.
How many
church.
Buttons? Down.
Like two. Then come on. The Lord's watching, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm a three from the top guy.
Three.
Yeah. Three from the top. That's my rule, is you go to that very top button that you only do up when you're wearing a tie.
Yeah.
You take that button and you count down. That's one, and then you go two, and then three. And
so then
three from the top.
Ironically, we saw, Jen and I, a little perplexed, right?
Yeah.
We saw a guy doing three from the top.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like chest out everything. The sun was blazing that day.
Yes, sir.
But there was still a breeze in the air.
Yeah.
So you needed maybe a light jacket.
Yeah.
But homie was doing three from the top.
Yeah.
At the zoo. And I didn't see him with a family. He was just walking. So maybe he was going to meet his family. I don't know. Maybe he was going to go get a snack, whatever.
Yeah.
But and wearing a chain too.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
Chain against the chest.
I like that.
And Jenna and I were like, we're at the zoo, bro.
So what? The zoo's not appropriate from three from the top for a little chest?
I don't know. I could, like...
It's not appropriate. What's more appropriate, church or the zoo?
So that's what I'm contemplating. I think Truthfully, I think church.
You think church is more appropriate?
Yeah, I think I'm okay. Huh? I'm okay with three from the top, even Shem style, two from the top.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
At church.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you ever go?
It's still at church. It's still a little bit of a fashion show.
You seem to me, Mocha, you seem to me, Mocha, that if you put on a dress shirt and no tie, you're only going one from the top.
I'll do two.
You will do two?
I'll do two, yeah.
With an undershirt underneath so you can still see the t-shirt?
No. Chest.
Chest. Yeah. Okay. I'll still do two. Interesting. Yeah. Because I have shirts where if I do two, it's quite open. Like, it's quite open. And then I have other shirts that are by a different designer where I can do three from the top. When I'm on TV, I only ever do two from the top.
Yeah.
That's the max. I can't do three from the top on TV. I start getting emails.
Do you remember when, so when you started hyping up three from the top?
Yeah.
Right? And then Dammit Maury started trying to rock three from the top. It just it didn't look right.
I booked threefromthetop.com.
That's right. Yeah.
That was for five years.
That was the same time, if you remember, when we started doing three from the top, when we started talking about that, was the other time I had that that great idea. And I even talked to lawyers about this idea, which was, remember Deep V Jeans?
Oh, I do remember
Deep
that.
V Jeans?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Which was like a V-neck, but only on jeans.
Right.
In the front, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants those, Deep V Jeans. Nobody wanted those.
No.
It didn't take off at all. But no, I'm a huge fan of chest, right? Mm-hmm. Even when I see it on somebody else, I always think if I see somebody rocking three from the top, like if I'm at the zoo, right? And I see a guy alone at the zoo, which is weird. If I see somebody alone at the zoo with three from the top, like I'm giving him a look like, I got you, bro. Yeah. Right?
Looking good.
Yeah, looking good, homie. Looking good.
I see you,
right? Because I think that it is, there's levels of comfort and sort of being vulnerable and exposing yourself and opening yourself up to judgment when you're a guy and you leave the house. Like if you're a regular guy, right, you may be comfortable in the house in an undershirt, okay? But would you ever go to the grocery store in an undershirt?
No, I wouldn't.
See, I would, right? I would. And if I see somebody at the grocery store in an undershirt, I'm like, I got you, bro. I see you, right? And it's the same thing with that last button. Like going two from the top is very easy. Most guys will do two from the top.
It's safe,
yeah. Yes, you're right. But three from the top walking out of the house or going into an event, like if you're going to a wedding and you go three from the top, like you feel insecure.
Yeah. And you think about it the entire time.
You do.
You're distracted.
Yes.
By the three buttons.
Yes. Because everybody's looking at you and everybody's judging you. And then did you shave? Did you trim? Did you not trim? Is it sexy?
Remember.
Is it gross? What is this?
Did you answer this question? Were you wearing, when you were at church, two from the top, right, Shem? Chain, gold chain and everything?
Oh, always.
Always.
Chain, and actually I had a, and I don't like calling it the name that people typically call it, but I had a sleeveless vest on as well underneath.
You know what they call it when you go to like Walmart? On the bags?
What?
Of those undershirts?
What?
They call them A-shirts.
A-shirts?
Uh-huh.
Really?
The letter A, A-shirts, which I don't know what the A stands
I don't know what that
for.
Is. So wait, you wore that on top? Like a vest?
No, underneath, man.
Oh, why'd you call it a vest then?
That's what they call it.
A vest? Yeah, my dad calls it a vest.
That's not called that a vest. A vest goes on the outside.
No, I know. But
no,
like
it's called a vest,
growing
man.
Up,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's like a Caribbean thing or what.
Right.
But like my dad, like they all, everyone in my family.
Calls them vests. Undershirts.
Yeah.
Really?
The undershirt with the sleeveless. Yeah, yeah.
That's
incredible.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. But anyway, Shem, congratulations. You look good today, man.
Thank you, brother.
Right on.
Right back at you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This long weekend when I was younger was like the long weekend. I mean, it is still the long weekend, but this is when there's a reason I don't remember many May 2, 4 long weekends from when I was younger. That's when we used to go to Wasaga. Or Sobel.
Yeah. Of course.
Right? Stay on like sketchy campgrounds on a reserve. Like, just my God.
You can't call it the unofficial kickoff to summer and not have tings happen.
Bro,
that you don't remember. I would say majority May 2, 4 weekends I don't remember.
Like, there's some stuff that I just don't remember. But then there's also things that I think that like my body just forced black out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like what?
I don't know.
He doesn't know?
I don't know.
It's in the book.
No, he can't put it in the book. He can't put it in his memoir. I don't remember.
Yeah. However, the amount of times in the book where I go, God, I wish I remembered more about this is staggering. It's staggering.
But those weekends, because I know you used to go hard on May 2-4 weekend,
God,
right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
of course.
So, Maury, when you were in like high school, did you go hard?
No, younger. I just remember exactly the beaches you're talking about. I have photos of like my dad and I with an open trunk. Sitting, you know, there with
staring at the body, wondering where to dig.
Okay. What time do people normally leave the beach? You start digging.
So you never like went with the guys up to Wasaga and got hammered.
That's,
and
the gays don't had, do that.
They don't. They
no
really, huh?
No, for us it's like you would go just like. Well, you'd party like hard and then.
I mean, when you were younger, not when you were an adult. I mean, like when you were like 17, 18, 19.
Hell no.
No, you did really? Not. Deepa, do I even need to bother? You don't have. Do you have any wild May 2-4 long weekend stories?
My wildest May 2-4 story would probably be like, was driving to see the fireworks. Lots of traffic, missed the fireworks, and that was my May 2-4 weekend. That's all you're getting from me, unfortunately. Sorry.
Getting stuck in traffic.
Wildin'.
What's your wildest May 2-4 long weekend story? There's so much traffic, I missed the fireworks, guys.
What about you, Shem? Because I know you're not like a big drinker or anything, but like when you were younger, did you dabble in the liquor at all?
Listen, my guys and I, we got a little bit of a crew. We used to go partying Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the Monday of the long weekend.
Wow.
Where'd you go?
Everywhere.
City.
Yeah, well, so in the city, but we'd also rent cottages and, you know, invite all of our friends and all of our, you know,
friends of friends.
Friends of friends.
Excuse me. What does that mean, friends of friends?
Look at the smile on his face.
Friends of friends.
He's hiding something.
I don't know what that means.
Listen, girls, man.
You had a good time, man. That's it.
Well, I'm not really saying you didn't have a good time. Look at Sham. Can't stop smiling right now.
Like this. Yeah. You know, all the May 2-4
you remember,
flashbacks are coming back.
Remember in Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico, who just like was so obsessed with his last year of high school that it ruined the rest of his life? Like Shem's about to live out the rest of his days right now, thinking back to that one weekend.
Yeah. Well, Uncle Rico's sitting there.
May 2-4 weekend with friends of friends.
Yeah, he's sitting in the chair holding the football.
Yes.
And he's got that smile. That's exactly what Shem.
Yes. The glory days.
Shem is Uncle Rico
the
right
glory
now.
Days.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's hell of a story.
Hello, Renee. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Really
good,
great. Good. So when and where does your hell of a story take place?
So it's probably about 10 years ago, I decided to do some online dating.
Oh, no. Pause. Okay.
Definitely here for it. Okay, so 10 years ago, online dating. What happened?
Yeah, so okay. I started talking to a guy that was apparently in Iraq in the military at the time. Spoke for like 3 months straight, solid, every single day. Stellar guy, no red flags, nothing else. Suddenly he comes back. We decide to meet up and spend a day together.
So was he already from like where you live?
He lived about 45 minutes.
Okay.
So when he came home, he had given me some story about how his insurance wasn't on his truck yet because he was been away from home and asked me to pick him up. So
Fair enough.
Picked him up, but he'd already had a few drinks when I picked him up. I could tell that he had been drinking. So we get back to my place and we're not there for very long before he starts like making some weird comments. He's like, why don't you have anything red in your house? Like, I'm looking around and I don't see enough red. Like, and you seem really disturbed by that. He pulled out a book out of his bag. It had no pages in it, like blank pages, I should say. He's like, look, see, I have a red book and I have a red scarf. And I was like, okay, good for you. Like, yeah. And as the day went on, he got like more drunk and weirder. So I suggested that we go to the local pub so that I had people around me and I wasn't alone with him to watch a UFC fight. So he agreed. We went to this pub. watching the fight, he started getting really aggressive. Like, at one point, he literally leaned across the table and started screaming in my face, like, nose to nose at me about something. And I told him, I was like, you know what? You're making me feel uncomfortable. I need you to leave now. And he's like, okay, fine. So he walked out for 1 second, came back in with his red book, opened it up. My address was written in it. And he said, fine, I'm leaving. But if you take anyone home with you, I will kill you both.
Oh, my God.
I will kill you both?
I will kill you both.
So he wrote, like, he has, like, a hit book?
Like, there was nothing else in the book now but my address. It was a blank book prior.
I don't know if that's better or worse. I don't know. I don't know whether it's more comforting to know that you're the 50th or that you're going to be the first.
I'm not sure either. After that, I went to my friends. I was like, okay, this guy's seriously crazy. Like, someone needs to come home with me just in case. So there was a snowstorm that night, probably a solid foot and a half of snow fell. 3 hours later, I go home, but I did have a guy friend come with me to take me because I was terrified. I get home. This guy is standing in my front doorstep. You could tell that he hadn't moved in the entire 3 hours because there was not a single footstep of snow around him, and the snow was up, like, to his shins. He didn't move. He stood there. Stood there waiting. So clearly, I brought a guy home. Well, doesn't he freak out, and he's threatening to kill us. So I ran and hid and called 911. And my friend was like, come on, dude, like, you know, she just wants you to leave, you know. And he's like, no, she's mine. And if I can't have her, I'm going to kill you. I'll kill her. I'll kill you.
Oh, this my God.
Yeah, I met this man. Wow. Okay. Police come.
Good.
And they separated us, right? So I'm talking to the police closer to my door, and he's talking to police at the end of the driveway. The cop at the end of the driveway with him comes up to me and starts giving me shit. He's like, you know, we could arrest you right now for false accusations and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, the guy told the cops that we've been girlfriend and boyfriend for years. This is a domestic. I do this all the time. I bring men home, and then he gets angry, and then I call the police saying that he's threatening me.
No!
And I was like, yeah, and I'm like, no, like, seriously, I could show you texts. I could show you all the messages. He just came back from Iraq, and they're like, well, you know, he says you say this all the time. Like, need to stop this. And I was freaking. I was crying, and then all of a sudden, at the end of the driveway, there was, like, five cops just jumped this guy, threw him to the ground, cuffed him, and threw him in the cop car. And I'm like, what just happened? And then the cop comes back to me. He's like, don't worry. If he ever steps foot in your town again, he will be arrested immediately.
Wait,
and I'm
like, hold on. You're missing an important part of the story, Renee. What happened at the end of the driveway?
They wouldn't tell me.
We need to know.
I have no idea. I was like, no, you got to tell me. Like, what did he say? And they're like, it's okay, just don't worry. You will never have to worry about this man again. He will never be allowed in your town. We will arrest him. And he got arrested and spent the night in jail. And a guy I know that's a cab driver ended up picking him up in the morning and driving him home and heard the cop, like, remind him, like, never, ever come to Bolton again. Like, ever.
Wow.
That's like the movie stuff. Like, I didn't think people could actually get banned from towns.
So did he ever try, after that, did he try, like, texting you or calling you or anything like that?
A couple weeks later, I got a message from him saying, hey, how's it going? I forgot my sweater at your house that night. Like, do you mind if I come grab it? No. Wow. I did not answer.
I did not reply. You don't know what he did to get banned from the town, though, huh?
No, I don't know what he said to them. But I do know that he kept telling me, like, when I said I'm calling 911, he's like, go ahead. I've killed so many people in my life. I'll kill a cop. I'll kill a firefighter.
Oh, my God. Hey,
wow. Seriously crazy.
So, Renee, what's the lesson here?
Never online date.
Is that the lesson?
Or at least never let them go to your house. Never, ever, first of all, let them have your address.
Or maybe you should just add more red to your decor.
Yeah, see? Had you had a little more red, none of this would have happened.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's funny because anytime any of my friends date now, we'll be like, is he good? Like, is he red book crazy or is he okay? Like, we have our level of crazy now. It's like,
damn.
That's our standard.
Renee, thank you so much. That was a hell of a story.
Thank you, Renee. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too, thanks.
Right
okay.
On. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm reading this article on personality traits that people wish they had developed earlier in life that usually come on sort of later in life.
Oh, interesting.
So I'll give you an example, which is the ability to take criticism and feedback, right? Maury.
Mm-hmm. Still waiting.
Not developed yet.
Let me go through the list and you guys all tell me.
You want us to ding?
You guys just all, I'll just go around the room. You guys all tell me if you have developed these sort of personality traits at the stage you are now in life, because these are sort of the things that people wish they had developed earlier, because oftentimes when you don't have these when you're younger, it's one, detrimental to your health because you just worry all the time, and two, it can hold you back in work and hold you back in relationships. Yeah. Prevent you from being vulnerable, all of this stuff that you sort of need to become a whole person, right?
Okay.
So I'll just go through this list and then you guys tell me if you have developed these or have not developed these yet, okay? Giving people the benefit of the doubt, Mocha.
I would say so. Yes? I would say that more than anything.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it because I think I'm a little bit too naive.
Right.
Or I can be.
Okay, Deepa.
I think also being a bit too naive would be mine as well.
Yes. Shem?
No, I'm skeptical as hell, man.
Okay. Damn it, Maury, giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay, cool.
You?
No, I see the worst in people.
How you doing?
That's just something I've lived with my whole life. Choosing to ignore dumb people instead of arguing with them.
Bruh.
Oh
my god.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Okay. Mocha, choosing to ignore dumb people instead of arguing with dumb people.
See, I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I will still, out of pettiness.
You will.
Argue?
Yeah. Okay.
Just to be a jerk?
Deepa?
Ignore.
Damn it, Maury.
Absolutely not. I enjoy a good argument.
There you go. The ability to take criticism and feedback. I'm not even going to go to that one because we're going to talk about Maury for 25 minutes. decisiveness, the ability to just make a decision quickly and stick with it. Is this something you developed later in life, or have you even developed it at all, Mocha?
No, not at all.
You have not. Shem?
Absolutely, I have.
Deepa?
Not at all.
No. Damn it, Maury. No.
I'm going to say yes.
You have.
No, you haven't.
Are you kidding me?
If I know what I want to eat, I will eat that.
No. Not, let's not talk about food. Let's not bring food into this.
I'm very good at, like, this is what I'm doing. Boom.
Okay.
You wouldn't agree?
No.
Highly disagree.
If we were on one of those things where you have to say, like, highly agree to highly disagree on that spectrum, I would be in the highly disagree. I would check that box immediately. Yeah. The ability to tell yourself to shut up when you start overthinking. Mocha.
No.
Have you developed that personality trait?
Not
you
yet.
Have not.
No.
Deepa.
Does 50% count?
You look in pain right now. Does what count?
Like 50%. I'm like
50%.
No.
Okay.
That's not how this works, girl.
Okay. Let's go back down to number four, which was decisiveness, Deepa. damn it, Maury. The ability to tell yourself to shut up when
absolutely
you start overthinking.
Absolutely not.
Firmness. This is huge. This is where you establish boundaries with the people in your life, the people you work with, and sort of put your wants and needs on the table as far as what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. Boundaries. The question is firmness. Mocha, do you have this?
I don't think so.
You don't think so. Mm-mm. Deepa.
Yes, I do think so.
Shem.
Yes, man. Protect your peace.
Okay. Damn it, Maury.
Absolutely not.
There we go. And then here's the number one thing that people wish that they have developed, that they could have developed earlier in life, but they didn't. These are personality traits that they wish that they could have had earlier in the life, maybe developed later in life. The ability to not take things personally.
Come on now. Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay. Shem.
Yeah, I've developed that.
Deepa. 65%. Okay. 65%. I don't even know how you do that math in your head.
You're just pulling on numbers.
Like, the only way to do that, Deepa, would be to determine right now all the times that you have taken things personally.
I did. I calculated that.
Okay, cool.
That was the number.
Damn it, Maury.
Everything personal.
Everything personal.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Hi, Katie. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm like
really excited and like super nervous at the same time.
Oh, well, why are you reaching out to us? Tell everyone.
Okay, so someone has like really, really been overstaying their welcome. I need help.
You wrote us this. Hey, Razumoka, fix my life. 6 months ago, my boyfriend's father got evicted from his apartment and has been living with us and our dog in a basement apartment. So you're all in a basement apartment?
Yeah, two bedroom, two bathroom, basement apartment.
And you said, I wanted to move out, but my boyfriend is being swayed by his dad because his dad has money and I don't know what to do. So if the dad has so much money, why doesn't he just move out?
Because he's comfortable where he is right now. Like, his goal has always been to, like, try and live with one son.
Like, what? Forever?
Not forever, but I mean, like, they used to live together before, and then, like, when I met my boyfriend, he moved out and we moved in together. So I think he's kind of like happy that he's living back with him and doesn't really want to move.
You don't have a father-in-law problem. You got a boyfriend problem.
Yeah, that's what everyone seems to say now when I say that. But I don't know. I feel like I've just kind of like exhausted all of my options and I'm coming to you guys because like I don't know what to do anymore.
So what, tell us what conversations you've had with your boyfriend about this then and what his response has been.
So like I try and talk to him in like a calm like tone, but every time it's just like a heated conversation because it's something that he doesn't want to talk about.
Because he likes having his dad there.
Well, he says that he doesn't like having his dad there, but like his words and his actions don't match.
Mm. Well, he's lying to somebody.
Like, yeah.
So, like, he'll tell me, like, oh, I want him to move out. But, like, he doesn't do anything about it. Like, he doesn't, like, look for other places to go. Because, like, so I encourage him to, but he doesn't. He just says, I don't have time. I don't have time.
It's not a priority for either of them.
You really want the dad gone. He's sort of just fine either way to have the dad live there. And now he feels pressured by you, and he feels that if he tells his dad to leave, that he's betraying his dad and being a horrible son. And it's the sort of lesser of two evils, right? You know, to have you pissed off at him for, you know, a little while is sort of maybe better in his eyes than feeling that he was betrayed by his father or abandoned, you know, or that he abandoned his dad or that he was, you know, he betrayed his father. That's a terrible thing for somebody to deal with. And nobody wants to deal with that. So, of course, he's going to drag his ass and just make the best of it. Even if he doesn't want him there, the inconvenience of having your father live with you and your girlfriend in a basement apartment is probably an easier pill to swallow than him having the conversation with his dad about him moving out.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't like, see, the thing is like, I don't really have a great relationship like with my father-in-law.
Yeah.
So because he's like had, like said negative things to me before,
right,
like negative comments. So I just don't feel comfortable with him being in the house.
Sure. Does your boyfriend know all this stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He hasn't
done anything or said anything?
No, not really.
Okay, listen, again, we said this off the top. You don't have a father-in-law problem. You got a boyfriend problem.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the conversation that you need to have. I think that when you have a conversation with your boyfriend, the conversation should not be, hey, what are we doing about your dad and how are we, you know, going to transition your dad out of living with us? That's not the conversation you have to have with your boyfriend. The conversation you have to have with your boyfriend is, what are you doing? What are you doing with your dad? What are you doing with me?
Yeah.
The father-in-law is only there because he feels welcome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's loving life. He's living with his son. Girlfriend's cool. You know, I can say stuff to her. Nobody says anything back to me. It's great.
Yeah. Do you have like any like words of advice or like words of encouragement you could pass along?
You need to lay it all out for him. Okay. And say, hey, listen, I love you. And, you know, to me, this is it forever with this guy for you?
Well, I mean, we've been together for 7 years.
Okay. That's not the question, though. Is this forever? Like, do you feel in your heart like you can be together with somebody for a long period of time? But in the back of your mind, you're like, it's just out of convenience now at this point. Is this the guy that you think that you would like to spend the rest of your life with?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Okay. So I would say this. The conversation needs to be honest, and you need to be adults and have an adult conversation, which are difficult to have. And you need to let him know that you don't feel secure in the relationship and you don't feel secure in your own home. And that is a problem. And for you, it's a terrible way to live because neither of those things you should be feeling when you get home. And the reason you feel that way is because
your boyfriend encourages the things and the situations to lead to you feeling that way. And you need to know from him whether this is just the way it's going to be, or whether he wants to sort of have your back on things and work on the two of you, because this isn't a dad problem. This is a problem that you go to your boyfriend and say, hey, your dad said something real awful to me, and the boyfriend does nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. That is okay. Like, that's cause for termination.
Yeah.
Does that help, Katie?
Yeah, it does. I feel like it helped me, like, realize a lot of stuff that, like, I have before. Like, it's just, like, a confirmation of feelings I've been feeling.
Yeah.
It's just, like, something that I didn't really want to deal with.
There's an A team and a B team in that house, okay? You and your boyfriend need to be the A team. The boyfriend and his father, they're the B team, okay? And your boyfriend is spending a little too much time prioritizing team B.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Mm. Right?
You know what you got to do, Katie.
Yeah, we have to have a talk.
Tough conversations.
Well, thank you for reaching out to us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Like, oh my God, thank you so much.
You feel a little bit better?
Yeah, I do. Like, I feel it's such a bittersweet feeling, because I'm so happy I had a problem that I could talk to you guys about.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit better.
Okay, good.
But yeah, thank you.
All right. All the best, girl.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
We're getting closer. Tomorrow's the day.
Yes.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Disney Plus show, will drop at midnight. And they have two episodes.
Also, Stranger Things.
Oh, God.
It's a big weekend.
It is. Bro, I got an advance on Stranger Things.
You did?
Dog.
How'd you get an advance on Stranger Things? How come I didn't get an advance on Stranger Things?
I don't know. You get an advance on everything else?
Super weird.
But Stranger Things?
Yeah.
This season?
Yeah.
Bruh.
It's so good. That's wild.
But I am so excited, as I know you are, and so many other people.
Oh, my God.
Because you get Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
We're also getting Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader.
Right.
And we haven't seen Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader since Sith.
Which I don't even remember Sith. I know a lot of people like that movie. I saw it one time and one time only. And
really?
That was it. Yeah, that was it.
Out of those three prequels, that one's probably my favorite.
Is it?
One.
I've only seen the prequels one time and one time only.
That's it.
No.
Never even just out of curiosity dip back.
No, never went back. I watched them one time and one time only.
So Ewan McGregor is making the rounds promoting, right?
Yeah.
And talking to Fallon about the first time. Because if you remember, like the last time those two characters saw each other in Sith was before Hayden Christensen turned into Darth Vader.
Right. Didn't he fall in lava or something like that? Yeah.
So,
spoiler alert, I guess.
So
I don't know.
By assumption, Ewan McGregor or Obi-Wan thought that maybe he was just like gone for good.
Mm, right.
So
okay.
In this Obi-Wan, we know the two characters are there together.
Yeah.
And what it was like for, the question was like, well, what was it like for you, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, to see on set Darth Vader, someone who you haven't acted in a scene
with
before.
That's true, I guess, yeah.
In Obi-Wan Kenobi, our pal Hayden Christensen returns for the first time as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
What's it like working with Hayden again?
It's lovely to work with Hayden again. We spent such a long time together. We shot episode 2 and 3 in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, back in the day. And so we spent a lot of time on set, and we had a lot of fight training to do, and we spent a lot of time off set, so it was nice to see him again.
Yeah, he's a good
It was frightening to see him again, knowing the... I hadn't acted with Darth Vader, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Oh, what was it?
And I'd been acting a long time. I think I've done a lot of stuff. But the first take with Darth Vader scared out of me.
It's true. It was frightening.
Yeah, we rehearsed, and he didn't have the helmet on, and I was... I was getting made up, and I guess they were sorting him out, and then it was action, and I'm walking down, and I hear something. I turn around and... Vader's coming at me like that. I swear to God, I just about my pants, really.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're a kid, that is probably one of the scariest villains you see.
That's it, I think.
A lot
I was like 7
that.
Years old again. It was really like, it was really genuine fear. Like,
fear.
I made horror films and stuff. They're not frightening, but that was.
That was, yeah.
Like, could you imagine, like, you've been in that universe or in that galaxy, part of that world for so long, and you get to a point in your career after all these years of playing such an iconic character and finally getting a chance to share screen time it's, with the greatest villain of all time.
So how tall is Hayden Christensen? Because the guy who played Vader was tall. What's his name? David Prowse?
Yeah.
How tall is David Prowse? Because he was tall.
Well, I guess to match it up, maybe they gave him lifts.
I know, but like, is there like a huge, because Vader better be huge, right? David Prowse was 6'6".
Hayden Christensen, 6 foot, 1/8.
Yeah. So he's 6. So that's a big difference.
So lifts, for sure.
For sure. Right? He better be towering.
It better not be like Vader and some like black heels or something.
Come on, man. Like platforms?
Stop, y'all. Try right? Something new.
Hey, guys, don't make fun, okay? I went through a lot.
Yeah, I'm new to this.
Okay? I fell in lava. This is all...
Yeah.
Okay?
These aren't even real legs.
Right? Listen, okay? What kind of... Like, the slim pickings, all right? We don't have a whole lot here.
Yeah.
Okay?
I got burnt, like, up to the knee.
Real bad. Doctor said... The doctor said I need to wear these. Don't make fun.
I had to trust them.
Now die.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
My house was too cold last night.
You know what? Our house too.
Yeah.
I had to wear a hoodie.
Yeah. I put an extra blanket on the bed.
We had the AC on, and it was a little cooler outside than normal.
Yeah.
First world problems, right? AC whatever, on, whatever. Rocking a hoodie.
Where are we right now?
Okay.
I know.
Not for the first world problems. It was cold in my house last night.
Okay. Like, I'm not allowed to talk about it. It was cold, a little chilly.
No,
like,
no.
I can't have a chill. I'm so privileged. I can't have a chill.
So extra blanket on the bed.
On my feet.
Only
in the bed.
On your feet.
Yeah, I folded it up and I put it on the bottom of the bed because that's where I like my feet to go. I was just going to say, obviously.
You know, tuck it in the nightstand like everybody else.
No, I don't open the drawer and put my feet in there. I got a little chilly last night. And
what about Catherine?
She was freezing. And then normally I don't mind being cold when I fall asleep, mm-hmm. right? I like it. I like the room cold. I like being piled under the blankets, right?
It's comforting, yeah.
Thank you.
You need a weighted blanket, I'm telling you, bro.
I don't want a weighted blanket. I have Catherine and I have cats. I have all the weight on me that I could possibly handle while sleeping.
But when... Catherine was freezing in the bed last night, and your feet were freezing.
Yeah.
And you put the comforter, the extra blanket, on your feet. Did it not occur at any point, yo, my girl is freezing cold, let me pull up this extra blanket and cover her a bit?
No. Like, I spread it out on the bottom, like, of the bed, right? So she had access to it, whether her feet reached it or not. That's none of my business.
You're in the same bed, though.
Yeah, I know.
You can tell if her feet reach the bottom.
I can't see. I can't tell if her feet are... I don't know. I don't know what she's wanting with her feet down there, man. If she curls up in a little ball or she stretches out. I don't know. It's none of my business how she sleeps. That's her business.
Okay.
So I tried to stay warm last night, and then I woke up sweating at some point, and then I went back to bed again, and I was freezing cold.
But doesn't the cat also come and like,
then the cat
across
sleeps
your
across
feet?
My feet. Yeah, yeah. Like totally, which is the greatest feeling in the world. Uh-huh. Like it is just the best. Having a cat sleep directly, like lying right across my feet, puts me to sleep immediately. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest thing, and I don't know why. It puts me to sleep immediately, and if the cat is not on my feet, I have a very difficult time falling asleep.
Imagine this then.
Yeah.
With or without a weighted blanket.
Right.
All right. Maybe just forget the weighted blanket. But this, what I'm going to tell you, this does add to a little bit of the discomfort.
Okay.
Right. Is when our golden retriever, Tig, he's in the bed.
Yeah.
And like if he like wants your attention or he wants a snuggle, he will prop himself up and lay on my chest.
Right.
Directly on my chest.
Like his whole body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like his chest on my chest.
Right.
And his nose is like basically to my nose.
That's like, that's a big dot. It's like having a person on you.
Yeah.
Like a man.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, man.
Hey, Maury, does your dog sleep in the bed?
He comes to bed when Matthew comes to bed and he curls up next to my butt.
Like, so on the bed?
Yes.
Okay, so he does sleep on the bed. I didn't think Matthew was going to allow that.
It's hard to stop it. We tried stopping it, but like the dog keeps jumping up, what are you going to do?
True. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You guys have a crate at home?
We have a crate. He has 4 beds, but he prefers them.
Four?
Yes, 4 beds. Yeah. Your condo's 600 square feet.
Where do you keep all four beds?
He has two beds in our bedroom. Yeah. He has two beds in the living room.
Right. So, but he doesn't go face to face with you like Mocha's dog does. Like, no. you don't get
he curls
that.
Like, up, he curls up like at the bottom of the bed and or sometimes curls up in my butt nook.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Which is great. I love that move too. Some of my cats do that. So when Tig's on you, like, mm-hmm. do you like reach around and like put your arms around him and hug him while he's there?
Yeah, like, sometimes I'll like put my hand on top of his head. He's just looking for attention.
Yeah.
So the worst is if he is like sleeping on the floor and then he'll like in the middle of the night, he'll get up and he'll come only to my side of the bed.
Right.
And sit there beside my face.
And stare at you like a creeper?
And just stare.
No.
And I wake up just to...
But who takes him out first? Is it you?
And
that's why,
and
right?
I will. See. And some there have been times where I've gotten up and I've screamed so loud.
I would too. I would too.
Right? And then I push him out. What the hell's wrong with you?
Does Matthew ever wake up to your wheezing while you sleep, Maureen?
Yeah, he like last night he punches me though.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Dude, so we're a week away from Stranger Things, right? New season on Netflix. And the Duffer brothers, the guys behind Stranger Things, are furious.
Oh, why do I have them?
Beyond furious.
What do they do?
So there is, they have Stranger Things like Monopoly right now, right? And they've had it for a while. Yes. Anyway, they have this new updated version of Monopoly Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
And the new version, some of the cards in the new version that are out right now, available to purchase like in stores, give away like major plot details for this new season.
Oh, that happens all. That happens a lot. Actually, do you remember when that happened? What movie was it where there was? It happened with action figures. Where
Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where they released action figures beforehand, and people were like, "Well, I didn't know that character was in the movie."
Huge spoilers.
Yeah.
So, people were like posting online like pictures, right? Being like. And like on Reddit.
What a pisser. You work so hard to keep something a secret.
But they were saying, like, we went to a brand name store.
Yeah.
Paid money. Like, these weren't sent to us by, like, some PR firm or wherever. We didn't get, like, a hookup.
They weren't special.
No. Like, we went into a store, saw it, purchased it, brought it home.
Yeah.
Gone through the cards and major plot details for this upcoming season. And this upcoming season, they're splitting into two. Part one comes out next week. Second part comes out in July.
Yep.
So Duffer Brothers, when they found out, because everyone started talking about this, pissed.
Yeah, I would be too. You work so hard to keep stuff a secret, right? And you know, those deals, like that's the kind of mistake that should just never happen, right? Like, and I understand, you know, you got to go to market, and you got to get them in stores, and they got to go into production, and you have to reveal these things early, right? There's some people that need to know these things early, but then to just have a full game, like a stupid Monopoly game based on Stranger Things is the thing that ruins it, the thing that spoils everything.
I know.
Is so, like, it's so avoidable.
But
it's so avoidable.
When you have a franchise like Stranger Things, there are... It is somebody's job to be in charge of that, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a whole other department that is in charge of like merchandising and this and that and all these different deals because there are, they got like Stranger Things backpacks and hats and friggin' pencils and crayons and all sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
And then for this one particular product to slip through the cracks and make it to retail a week before. The new season is to premiere.
What happens if you pass go on that Monopoly? Like, do you get $200 or is it something different?
I don't know. I haven't played the game.
You know, there's parts of my book.
Oh, your
memoir. I'll tell you this. I'll give you like a little tease.
Okay.
Right. There are parts of my book that people who I've been working with for the better part of 2 years now don't even know exist.
There are parts of your
there are
book
parts of my book that I'm so secretive about that there's people who have read my book multiple times that don't know that there's parts of the book that they have not read.
Wait, you're holding back on some parts?
Yeah.
On purpose?
On purpose, yeah.
Does it involve them?
No, not at all. No. I mean like people at the publisher.
Oh.
Like,
but why?
Like, because
don't they need to know everything before it goes to print?
No. Certain people do. The people that need to know, no. But there's certain parts that I'm just so secretive about that I don't want to get out that even the people that I work with don't know. Like a very select few people know.
They won't know until the book is out. September 27th.
A lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of people. Most people, I would say. I would say that there's maybe two people that know all the parts. But there's parts of the book that I was so secretive about that even internally at the publisher, parts are removed so people don't have access to it.
Do they need to know?
No, they don't need to know.
Like, as part of their job, do they need to know before it goes to print?
No, they don't need to know. Really? They don't need to know. But there's parts of the book that I'm so secretive about, like crazy secretive about.
But will they know because you're doing like the audio version of it, right?
Yes.
But they'll know then, right?
And that's fine.
That's the part with me.
What's that?
That's the part
with Maury. No, you're still not in the book, Maury. We established that yesterday, man.
You just explained. You're keeping it out.
No.
Now.
Oh, you think you're the big secret of my book?
Oh, please.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Hello, Kiana. It's Roz and Mocha.
Oh my gosh. Hi.
We are so excited to talk to you. What's going on? What's happening in your life? Why are you reaching out?
Okay, so I want my boyfriend to meet my mother, but he will not because he is so nervous.
Okay, so you wrote us this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, Fix My Life. Me and my boyfriend have been dating for almost a year and a half. And as you said, he's not comfortable because my mom is intense. At the beginning of our relationship, he would take my car for days and my mom would see it missing and assume that he was taking advantage. So now there's this tension between them. Now we're moving in together next week and I'm going to live with a guy who has never met my mom. How can I fix this? They eventually need to meet. Just doesn't feel right.
So you haven't tried to get the two of them together in the same room?
Okay, so I mean, I feel like I've tried. I have never done like maybe a sit down dinner, but he's picked me up numerous times and dropped me off, and it never seems to make it to the door. And whenever I ask, like, sometimes it's just not good timing. But if it is, I can't get them past the point to just like go and meet the other person.
Okay. I'm gonna pause you for 1 second. Very, very important question here. If your boyfriend has never met your mother, how does your boyfriend know how she feels about him?
Well, there's been paths crossed and
it's because you tell him.
Yeah. Because I tell him.
Yeah. So this is on you.
Well,
does your mom not like your boyfriend?
No, it's on you.
No, but obviously, but the mom is talking to Kiana about the boyfriend.
Right, and the boyfriend is going weird because Kiana says that my mom doesn't like you.
But is that, like, in fact true? Like, does your mom talk smack about your boyfriend?
No, she doesn't. Oh. And the thing is I never went and told my boyfriend my mom doesn't like him. But what I did say is the longer that, like, you are not meeting my mom, the weirder it gets for her, and she doesn't see it as a good look.
Okay. Why at the beginning did he not meet your mom?
Because he didn't, I guess, I'm not really, like, I wouldn't
so what was all this stuff with the car?
His car, he had gotten into an accident.
So he would borrow mine. And then your mom would feel that he was taking advantage, right?
Exactly.
So how does your boyfriend know that that's how your mom felt about that situation with the car?
Because I would tell him.
Because you told him.
Should I not have told him?
No, this is on you. This isn't your boyfriend being weird. This is you've been sitting here talking about how your mom doesn't like him and feels weird and that he's taking advantage. Of course he's not going to want to meet here. You've spoiled the relationship.
No.
You have ruined this. This is you, not them.
Now I don't know what to do.
Well,
really.
Now you're like, the one. It's your mess. You got to clean it up.
Okay.
What do you say to your mother about your boyfriend to like help fix the relationship?
Well, I mean, I'm not here talking bad about him, guys, and I'm not here like talking bad about my mom or to him about my mother or vice versa.
But if the two of them aren't speaking and the only person relaying information back and forth is you, then the communication that you're giving to both sides is the thing that's creating the tension.
But it's not like it's negative.
They haven't met in a year and a half. And your boyfriend feels weird about
it. Because now it's weird. And
yeah, because your boyfriend thinks that your mom hates him.
But I've told him that that's not true.
But you also told him that she felt that he was taking advantage.
Yeah, that's when I was trying to get him to meet her, because it's like, if this goes on for much longer without explanation.
Okay, so here's what you need to say. You need to go to your mom and you need to go to your boyfriend. And you need to say, hey, listen, we're moving in together, and this is what needs to happen. I screwed this up. Okay? You need to go to your boyfriend and say, this could have been completely avoided had I not made it weird. And I made it weird by telling you things that my mom felt at the time. And the reason she felt them at the time was because she didn't know you. But I opened my big mouth and I told you how she felt when I shouldn't have. And you guys probably could have had like a real cool relationship, but I overshared and I screwed this whole thing up. And now this is on me to fix it. And then you go to your mom and say, hey, listen, the reason why this is weird that I'm moving in with a guy that you've never met is because I made it weird. The reason he doesn't come over here is not because he doesn't like you or because he's not a good guy. The reason he doesn't want to come over here is because I told him you don't like him. Okay. And this is all on me. And I got myself into the situation, and I don't know how to get myself out of it, but I love this guy and we're going to live together. So I'm hoping we can do something cool together and do something at a neutral place. Don't go to the house, go for dinner or even just like go for lunch, make it quick, or go do some sort of activity where you're all going to meet for ice cream and you're going to stand in line for 20 minutes like every other jabroni and get your ice cream and eat your ice cream. And then you're all going to go your separate ways. It doesn't have to be a big giant thing. Yeah. It can be super quick.
Ain't nothing wrong getting ice cream, bro.
No, I know.
That's actually a good suggestion.
Right? You screwed this up, and this is how you have to fix this, is by saying exactly that.
Okay. You know what? I will take the heat. I will take that. From your perspective, I've honestly never had someone say to me like that, so it I see where I went wrong. I know. I think that's helpful.
But any conversation that you have with your mom about your boyfriend, is it always negative, or has she shown any type of like compassion or willingness to get together with him?
Yeah. Like, my mom wants to meet him.
Oh, okay.
It's, I guess, just on his side, he's a little bit intimidated.
Yes.
Because of you.
And
because I've... Damn, girl.
Overshared. Yeah.
Because you spoiled the relationship.
Okay. Thank you, guys. All right. I appreciate that.
No good luck, Kiana. Thanks for reaching out.
And stop being so busy.
Busy?
Yeah. Stop with the need to tell everybody everything stuff.
I don't do that a lot, but I do that with him.
Well, you've been doing it for a year.
Great. You done messed up, girl. Go fix it.
Thanks.
All right. All right, later. Bye.
Bye, guys. Have a good day.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
Where are we here? Oh, let's start with Cucumber Girl.
Huh?
Kendall Jenner.
Oh, my God.
So back on the Kardashians episode, there was a scene where Kris and Kendall were in the kitchen, and Kendall wanted to make herself a snack, and she was trying to cut a cucumber, and she was doing crisscross hands. So she was like holding the cucumber with one hand, and then the knife goes under that arm, and she was cutting the other end of it like crisscross. Like, you make an X with your hands, and that's how she was cutting it. And everybody's like, this is the most tragic way I've ever seen anybody try and cut
totally
anything.
Totally unsafe, too.
It was just wild. The whole thing was just wild. And here's the scene from the show where the mom, Kris, is then like, do you want us to have like one of the chefs do this for you? Because she can't
cut
a
cucumber. Do you want the chef to make you a snack?
I'm making it myself. Just got to chop up some cucumber. It's pretty easy.
You go, girl. Be careful, because I nicked myself the other day.
I know, I'm kind of scared.
There you go.
Don't cucumbers have seeds? Oh, yeah, they're right. I definitely am not a good cutter, so don't zoom in on me. I'm not professional whatsoever.
Hey, chef, do you want to cut this up for her?
I'll do it, Mom. Fine.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where you're like, no, honestly, you need to stop doing that right now.
Yeah.
It's like nothing you're doing is good or right or safe.
You're going to hurt yourself.
And then so it just exploded, and everybody was going in on Kendall for the way she cut a cucumber. And then I know that Kylie had posted something on TikTok where the two of them were dancing, I believe, at
their sister's wedding, where Kylie only captioned the photo, "Me and Cucumber Girl."
It blew up on TikTok as well, with everyone trying to do it the same way.
Oh, and I've seen so many videos of people doing everything the Kendall Jenner way, yeah, where they're like trying to like drink and eat and drive, yeah, like all this stuff with crisscrossed hands.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, it's super tragic. But Khloe Kardashian was on a podcast recently talking about, the podcast was called, it's got a weird name, I'm trying to figure out what the name of it was, the Not Skinny Not Fat podcast, is that what I wanted to say?
Very close.
Yeah, Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast, and Khloe was talking about how all of this cucumber drama has actually impacted Kendall.
What do you think about Kendall's cutting a cucumber?
Oh my God, she's like not happy about What'd you see? She said something?
I could tell by her retweet that she wrote tragic that she's being sarcastic, and that means that she's kind of upset about it.
I feel so, I'm like, Kendall, God is fair. You're the most beautiful human being in the world. You have wild looking toes, God bless, and you can't cut a f-ing cucumber. The world is good, because she's like, how can you be this perfect? She has the perfect life, this perfect dog. She's a gazelle of a human being.
Yeah.
She walks the runway. She's like all these amazing things. You can't cut a f-ing cucumber.
Okay, like you're like a cry me a river.
Please come over and stay with me for 1 week. Let's see. She'll really cry herself a river. Oh my God.
I love that. Oh my God.
I'm going to teach her.
Coco is the best sister.
I'm going to teach her how to cut a cucumber.
So this is never going away.
No, it's not. And the difference is this, though, is that why this cuts so deep is because she has heard all the sort of things leveled at her and the family forever, which is, you know, they're famous either for being famous or, you know, she's only famous because she's pretty, or models don't do anything. It's not real work. You have no real talent. All of this stuff. The whole family has heard all of this stuff for years, right? And so then when you can't cut a cucumber, all of that stuff comes back because you start in your head to think that maybe all those people are right. Right? That's why it cuts so deep, is because you've heard this stuff a million times in your life, and then you're like, oh God, I just gave them so much more ammo.
Yo, should have let the chef do it for you.
You have chefs. Like, this is the whole thing with this. Like, you have probably multiple chefs in that kitchen.
Multiple kitchens in one house.
Is there anything you can't cut? For me, it's a tomato.
You can't cut a tomato?
No, I can't. I cannot dice a tomato without it becoming a massive mess everywhere.
Well, that's because your knives aren't sharp.
Uh-huh.
Well, I use a steak knife.
Yeah, that's not, wow. That's, yeah, no, that's your problem.
You're not cutting steak.
Yeah.
No, but the last time I used like a super, super sharp knife, I cut.
You don't have a super, super, you don't have a super, super sharp knife.
No, we do now. And I'm not allowed to use them because I cut the tip of my thumb off.
No, you didn't.
That's a liar.
Show me your thumbs right now. Show me your thumbs right now.
It's fine now. It healed.
Yeah, okay, so did it grow back? Like,
yeah, I know. What are you, a gecko?
Shem saw the bandage.
Yeah, you didn't cut your thumb off, man.
No, you maybe cut your finger, like a little bit. You cut your thumb.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree, but I'm not allowed to use those knives
anymore.
You're
not allowed to. So says who? Your husband.
Matthew said you're not allowed to use these knives. You can only use the steak knife.
Now, is you know those knives that you used to get with the Play-Doh, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
No, that's...
Maury needs the knife set that we have for our 5-year-old.
Yes.
Right? They're plastic. It's like a hard plastic.
Yeah.
And it still cuts through food. I mean, not the best.
Yeah.
It still does a job, but you can't, like, you can run it across your hand and you'll never
and
cut
nothing.
Yourself.
I need that.
That's exactly what you need.
Would you be allowed to use those, Maury, do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
I doubt it.
Dinner would be ready in an hour.
Deepa can't get enough of the allowed,
allowed.
Wait, Deepa, you don't have rules yet?
I mean,
is there stuff you're not allowed to do, Deepa?
No, I don't need rules like that.
Is there stuff that your husband's not allowed to do?
No, not really.
What's not really?
No, like, I mean, there's nothing that we're like, oh, you can't do, you're not allowed to do this. So,
no.
This knife thing, though, is very interesting to me. Like, Maury's like in his mid 40s and can't use knives.
Deepa, there are so many rules at my place.
So many rules. Maury's also not allowed to load the dishwasher.
No,
why?
Or the laundry. I have to wear socks in bed.
Maury's not allowed to have bare feet in the bed.
I get that. That's probably like...
Oh, We found it. Okay, what did that take us?
That took us three.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, look at the time.
Look at that.
It's news time. Mm. Hey, Mocha.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Of course, brother.
Sorry, I got to catch my breath. Let's do the news.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
And then more from David Letterman. My next guest needs no introduction. So Will Smith, and they made a huge deal about this, which is the Will Smith interview happened before the Oscar slab happened.
Sure.
And one of the things that he talks about was from his book, and I know that you brought this up on the show when the book was released, which is his father was abusive towards his mother, and then Will didn't do anything in those moments when he was younger, and then he grew up feeling like a coward.
I've always thought of myself as a coward. When I was, you know, 9 years old, I saw my father beat up my mother, and I didn't do anything. And that just left a traumatic impression of myself as a coward.
Right. And then he goes on to, there's another moment in there where he was talking about he was doing ayahuasca, which is this drug that you drink. People go out in the desert and then they get high and they drink ayahuasca and you have these visions. You go on these vision quests. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the interesting part was, is that when Will Smith did ayahuasca, he dreamt that he lost everything. Listen to this.
Most hellish psychological experience of my life. I drank, and it usually takes about 45 minutes to kick in. And I'm sitting there, and you always feel like, you know, maybe it won't kick in this time. So I'm drinking, I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, it's like,
listen,
I start seeing all of my money flying away, and my house is flying away, and my career is going away, and I'm like, and I'm trying to like grab for my money and my career, my whole life is getting destroyed.
So, so did he have a psychedelic vision about what was going to happen? Like,
sounds like it.
Right?
Wow.
What is it? Ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca, yeah. Yeah. I don't know a lot about it because I don't do drugs and stuff like that. But it sounds like, yeah, I think you go out to like Joshua Tree in California and you mix up this drink and you just stare at the stars and have all these.
I wonder how long it takes to wear off.
I don't know. This stuff terrifies me.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, Kanye West is back on Instagram and he's back with a brand new project. Now, I don't know if this is official in any way that he's actually working with McDonald's, but Kanye posted a picture of a redesigned hamburger box for McDonald's. And he wrote, Ye teams up with industrial designer Nawato Fukasawa to reimagine McDonald's packaging. And then he wrote this. What did he write? What was the fries line in this? What did he write? Next week we're doing fries, I think he said, which is a line from Gold Digger. But so the box that he designed is it looks sort of like a Big Mac box, only it's perfectly square. You know, the Big Mac box kind of has the top would go down on an angle, the sides go down on an angle. This is a cube. And and the cube has like it looks like a hamburger, like it's painted up to look like a hamburger, but only it's a square hamburger. So it would be like if you took a hamburger and then made a cube out of a hamburger.
Okay.
Right. And then and so that's what he's working on. So I don't know
so
if
I gotta
he just
eat a square hamburger.
So I don't know if he just decided, hey, I don't like the McDonald's packaging. I'm going to fly to Tokyo and hook up with a designer and reimagine it myself. And then maybe McDonald's wants to use this, or if he has some sort of official collaboration with McDonald's.
Is it the packaging, or he's changing the actual, like the food?
The
item?
Packaging.
No, just the packaging.
That's so stupid.
Is it though?
Yes.
I mean, he should have did this for Harvey's, which already has square patties.
Right. No, they don't. Wendy's does.
Is it Wendy's?
Yes.
Wendy's does. Okay.
Yeah, but the buns are round.
So figure that out.
Right? But no, so it's not an official tie-in with McDonald's. I think that he just independently went and spent a bunch of money to redesign.
What a waste of time.
You know what I mean?
Kanye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
During her concert in Los Angeles, Olivia Rodrigo stopped down the show to say a few words about the school shooting in Texas and calling for stricter gun control. Here's Olivia last night.
This is so devastating about the shooting that happened in Texas today.
Yeah.
We should never have to worry about our safety or our lives in places that are dedicated to our learning and our growing. And I'm so heartbroken that this is the reality that we're living in. And we need stricter gun control laws in America.
Taylor Swift broke her months-long Twitter hiatus to express heartbreak over the deadly shooting. She said, filled with rage and grief and so broken by the murders in Uvalde and by Buffalo, Laguna Woods, and so many others. By the way, in which we as a nation have become conditioned to unfathomable and unbearable heartbreak. Steve's words ring so true and cut so deep. And of course, she was talking about Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who used his time at a press conference to not talk basketball, but to talk the need for action.
Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here. And a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. There's 50 senators who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
So that was Warriors coach Steve Kerr. Matthew McConaughey, that was his hometown. That's where he grew up. And if you remember, if you remember last year, McConaughey was flirting with the idea of running for governor of Texas. He said, once again, we have a tragically proven that we are failing to be responsible for the rights and freedoms that rights and freedoms grant us. The true call to action is for every American to take a longer and deeper look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what is it that we truly value? How do we repair the problem? What small sacrifices can we individually take today to preserve a healthy and safer nation, state, and neighborhood for tomorrow? We cannot exhale once again, make excuses, and accept these tragic realities as the status quo. So that is Matthew McConaughey. I didn't know he grew up there.
Yeah, I knew. I just figured.
I mean, Texas is big. Texas is big, but that was actually.
But
that's,
I didn't know
that
his hometown,
Uvalde. Yeah, that's where he that's where he grew up.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
And the Cannes Film Festival. I guess David Cronenberg's David Cronenberging again.
What happened now?
So he has a new movie with Kristen Stewart and Viggo Mortensen, and then somebody else. And half the odd, like a portion of the audience gave it a 7-minute standing ovation after the end of it. And then also they said that dozens of people walked out of the movie because it's another one of these Cronenberg like gore fest things. I guess it takes place in like the future where people are able to control and adapt and alter their own bodies, I guess. And then like, I don't know. I don't.
It's a weirdo movie.
It's a weirdo movie. And then I guess there's one scene where like one person uses her abilities to allow herself to like dissect her husband without causing him any harm. And then all of that is shown so she can show the beauty on the inside. Like, it's just this weirdo Cronenberg
thing,
man.
Just tell me you love me.
Right? Is that all you want?
Yeah. Just like.
Yeah, I know. How did we go from that to that, right? Yes, I know. I don't need you to do that.
No, right? Tell me you love me. You know what? Even if you want to, you can't find the words, go to Shoppers, get me a beautiful card that expresses everything that you feel. And give that to me, and I'm good.
And I think that the quote...
I'd walk out of that movie, too.
Because you remember, remember when he did that movie, Crash? Not the one where it was, like, the political one, everything else, but he did Crash, where it was people who got off on being in car accidents.
I never watched it.
No,
but
there's no point in watching
heard
it.
Heard of you guys...
Yeah.
Watching it.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, it's like, it's out there. But he also did The Fly with Jeff Goldblum, which I really loved a lot, right? That's like a great Cronenberg movie.
Sure.
You never saw The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
That's actually a good film.
It's great. It
sounds familiar.
Yeah. What do you mean it sounds familiar?
Like he turns into a fly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. Like that doesn't, you don't just recall that immediately.
I don't think I ever saw
like,
it.
Like I tell you about a movie where a guy turns into to a fly called The Fly and you're like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. No, that movie should like either be completely foreign to you or you should remember everything about that
now,
movie.
Now when he turns into a fly.
Yes.
Right? Does he like does he permanently stay a fly?
So what happens? He was working. He's a scientist working on teleportation.
Yeah.
So he has pod number one and pod number two, okay. Right? And what his goal was to be able to step into pod number one,
yeah.
Flick a switch, and then he would like evaporate and then sure. reemerge in pod number two, cool. Therefore developing teleportation.
Cool.
But he went into pod number one,
yeah.
And as he was breaking down to be teleported to pod number two, there was a fly in there with him, and it also broke down. So when he reemerged in pod number two, his DNA was merged with fly DNA, Then he slowly transitioned from a man into a fly, like his jaw falls off and everything. So it's about him slowly becoming a fly.
It's important to mention, yeah. He doesn't shrink. I don't think he shrinks down to the size of a
no.
fly. He stays human.
That
size.
Was yes. going to be my question. So yes. Is he a human, like a man-sized fly?
Yes.
Or a fly-sized man?
Yes. He is a man-sized fly. Oh, it's also disgusting. A love story, though. So there's that. You know, for the
Excuse
kids.
Excuse me? You're just trolling. I almost
I'm not.
You.
I'm not.
I almost believe. Nah,
I'm
you're
not.
Trolling.
I'm not.
I almost
I'm
believe
not.
You.
I'm not. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Yes. I'm not sure if you had a chance to check out and do a sort of dive into Adele's socials lately, but fans are pissed.
Why?
Well, because she was supposed to start her weekend residency at Caesar's Palace on January 21st. And if you remember, she canceled with less than 24 hours, and fans had flown to Vegas, bought tickets, everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem is that we're now 4 months later, and Adele has yet to say anything about rescheduled dates.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, if you remember, was the promise. And so they got very close to a show, and her thing was that it just wasn't perfect and she wanted it to be perfect for the fans. But the sort of other side of the story was that she was being difficult. And I don't mean difficult in any sort of way. I just mean being difficult when it came to what a Vegas show is, because Adele wanted this scaled back thing. They are like, well, it's Vegas, so we need to have choreography and set pieces and dancers and everything else. And they were at odds with each other. And so I don't know if there is a middle ground to be found, because have you seen a story about how the
no.
production is progressing on the Adele show?
Zero.
And how they're working on it and how they've, you know, come to the point of where they fixed the things that were broken? No.
But I sure as hell see a lot of smiles from Adele on her social.
Yes,
on
you
IG.
Do. Yes, you do. But no wow. rescheduled dates.
Well, because there's so many pictures of her out on dates with her
I
boyfriend.
I know, and that's the problem, right?
Rich Paul.
Not that she shouldn't be out on dates with her boyfriend.
No, of course
not. But when you do a cry-filled, tear-filled message to your fans being like, I didn't want this to happen.
Yeah.
You expect, you know, that you are in Vegas after that day with the crew putting the show together, right?
Yes. Making sure it's
perfect.
Right.
Yes.
For the fans.
That
she
hasn't
make
happened.
The Time Magazine 100 most influential the other day.
Listen, she's very influential. Mm-hmm. She got a bunch of people to fly to Vegas for no good reason.
No.
You got to be influential to do that, man.
Well done.
Right?
Damn, man. People lost money, bro.
It's Vegas. You're going to lose money anyway.
I know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Caitlyn Jenner on the. So I saw Caitlyn Jenner wasn't at the Kardashian wedding in Italy, and then it came out that it's because Caitlyn Jenner wasn't invited.
Oh, Mamma Mia!
Mamma Mia! But Caitlyn Jenner talking about living with Kanye West and the differences between Kanye and Pete. This comes to us from the Pivot podcast. Listen to this.
Pete is. They came over the other day because I told Kim, I haven't even met him yet. So she brought him over, and we spent a couple hours here at the house together. And very different than what she would normally date. But Kimberly has been through a lot with the guys she's been with, you know, especially Kanye. I'm a very complicated guy. I really like Kanye. I got along with him so well. Two of us did great together. And even when I transitioned, he was so on my side. And you know, loving it. But he was very difficult to live with. And Pete is 180 degrees the other direction. I mean, first of all, he treats her so well.
Oh, damn.
And when they were over here, Kim is so happy. And Kim deserves to be happy. We need a comedian in the family. We don't need more rappers. We need comedians in the family.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty funny, Caitlyn.
Caitlyn doesn't hold back, though. That's, no. I sort of like that about Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, her politics aside, but I always like hearing an interview with Caitlyn Jenner because you get a sense that she was at one time sort of, you know, pivotal in that family, and now she sort of speaks like somebody who's been shunned and only has minor access.
Yeah.
And she doesn't hold back.
So I didn't know Caitlyn Jenner. That she, and I don't know what the dealings is, are behind the scenes, like her relationship with oh my God, who is it that got married?
Kanye?
No, oh my God,
oh,
not
Chloe?
Courtney.
Yeah.
I don't know what their relationship is. Yeah. I know her and Kim's relationship is wonderful, and I believe Chloe's relationship with her is wonderful.
Sure.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Over to the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. So this was testimony yesterday from Walter Hamada, Warner Brothers head honcho, because story was that it was because of Johnny Depp that Amber Heard lost all that screen time in the new Aquaman movie. Walter Hamada says that no, it was because of chemistry with Jason Momoa. Listen to this.
But if any creative concerns did Warner Brothers have about casting Amber Heard as Mira in Aquaman 2?
It was the concerns that were brought up at the wrap of the first movie, which is the issue of chemistry. Did the two have chemistry? You know, I think editorially they were able to make that relationship work, but there was a concern that it took a lot of effort to get there. And would we be better off recasting, finding someone who had better, more natural chemistry with Jason Momoa?
Was there any other reason Warner Brothers delayed in picking up Ms. Heard's option for Aquaman 2?
No, it was all concerns about whether she was the right bit of casting for the movie.
Was her compensation affected in any way by anything said by Johnny Depp?
No.
So if they felt this way about her, even after filming the first movie,
yeah,
like why even bring her back?
Well, the story is that it was Jason Momoa that actually, you know, lobbied to have her back.
Oh.
And then it was agreed to that her part would be slimmed down to the 10 minutes, I believe, that it is in the new one. TMZ filed an emergency motion yesterday seeking to block Johnny Depp's lawyers from calling one of its former employees to testify at the case. So what happened was is that Amber Heard was accused by Johnny's lawyers of being the one who leaked certain video to TMZ and also tipping off paparazzi. And now his team wants to bring in a former employee at TMZ to, I guess, out Amber Heard as the one who profited from those videos. TMZ's lawyers argued that the identity of its sources should be protected under the journalist privilege in Virginia law. And then TMZ also argued that whatever the testimony would actually be irrelevant to the question of whether Johnny Depp or Amber Heard defamed each other. So they're trying to get out of having one of their former employees testify that it was actually Amber Heard that leaked the video, because she denied that on the stand. So TMZ's now involved.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Johnny Depp trial. Let's start with there. So Johnny Depp retook the stand yesterday. And I didn't know this about trials. Like, they don't talk about this on television. Like, again, when you only know trials from movies and TV, and then you watch them live on TV, like the Johnny Depp trial or any other trials, one, they're boring as hell. And two, like, these lawyers aren't as, like, sharp and gotcha as they are in the movies. The other thing I didn't know is you're on the clock.
What do you mean?
As far as how much time you're given to present your case and defend your case. So as it is right now, I think Johnny Depp's legal team has, I think, 4 hours left. But Amber Heard's team only had, like, less than 90 minutes left. So they couldn't call all these, like, rebuttal witnesses and everything because they're running out of time.
Oh, I thought once you went up, like, that was your turn. And then the next person, it's their turn. And then that's it. Then the jury or the judge, whoever.
It is, but you only get so many hours to present and defend your case.
No, like, I didn't know, like, Johnny Depp's team could go up use a little bit of their time, then let Amber Heard go up, use her time, and then
No, they don't. Oh, okay, so only so what winds up happening is you get to do a rebuttal at the end of everything.
Gotcha.
Right? If you're the sort of, I guess, you know, plaintiff in this case, although they're suing each other, which is weird. One of the things that Johnny Depp wanted to clear up on the stand yesterday was the accusation that Amber Heard testified to when she was on the stand, saying that she once saw Johnny Depp take 8 to 10 MDMA, so ecstasy pills, all at once, and this is something that Johnny Depp wanted to clear up.
Mr. Depp, do you recall Ms. Heard testifying that she saw you consume 8 to 10 MDMA pills while you were while you were in Australia in March of 2015?
Yes, I do remember that.
How many times have you done MDMA in your life, Mr. Depp?
In my lifetime, MDMA, 6, 7, maybe.
Have you ever consumed 8 to 10 MDMA pills at once?
No, ma'am. No, I have not.
And why is that?
Because I'd be dead. I think one would die. Probably rather quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kate Moss was on the stand yesterday. She testified that Johnny Depp never threw down the stairs. But the big one was the ex-TMZ producer. And if you remember, TMZ launched an injunction to have it. They wanted to prevent this ex-producer from taking the stand because they wanted to protect their source. This was all about the leaks. So who tipped off the paparazzi when Amber Heard had the bruise on her face and she went to file the restraining order? Mm-hmm. And then also who sold TMZ the video of Johnny Depp in the kitchen slamming cupboards and everything else? And the ex-producer is on the stage, and Amber Heard's lawyer tries to accuse the ex-TMZ producer of capitalizing on basically taking his 15 minutes of fame, and he turns around and roasts her ass so hard that, like, jaws hit the ground. So this is the I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is here. Hold on, I had it a second ago. I don't remember. Anyway, play the clip, and I'll come back and tell you his name.
Okay, you know this. You know this case is being televised, right?
I am aware that there are cameras.
And so this gets you your 15 minutes of fame, doesn't
Objection,
it?
Your Honor. Argumentative.
I can ask that question.
Overruled.
Oh. So I stand to gain nothing from this. I'm actually putting myself kind of in a target of TMZ, a very litigious organization, and I'm not seeking any 15 minutes here. Though you're welcome to speculate. I could say the same thing by taking Amber Heard as a client for you.
Oh. A little argumentative, don't you think?
Oh, hardly. I find that to be purely logical.
Damn, girl.
Like, who says that? What's the guy's name, Maureen?
So it's former TMZ field assignment manager Morgan Tremaine.
That's his name, Morgan Tremaine. But also, so they asked about that video because the speculation was that Amber Heard sold the video to TMZ. Mm-hmm. And she's denied it, and TMZ didn't give up their source. But what they did say was, if you have a video, if somebody sends you a video, before you can publish it or before you can actually claim ownership on it and buy the video from somebody, mm-hmm. how can you get the ownership from somebody? And what they said was, well, you can shoot it yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So that wasn't, you know, they didn't shoot that. They weren't in the kitchen with Amber Heard. It can be sold to you by somebody who is the copyright owner, mm-hmm. or it can be given to you by the person who shot it, who is the copyright owner. So those are the only three ways TMZ can publish something.
Yeah. And everything points to Amber Heard.
Right. There's no other way because he said that he got a mysterious like Dropbox link one day and he just clicked on it. But
I've gotten one of those before.
Of course you have, Maury. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Snoop says that he once turned down. This is wild. So Snoop, massive Michael Jordan fan. Mm-hmm. And Snoop was offered an incredible amount of money to basically like DJ a party for Michael Jordan, and Snoop turned it down. And here's why Snoop turned it down.
One of the craziest deals I turned down, it was $2 million to DJ for, I think it was a Michael Jordan event. And I never met Michael Jordan. I want to meet him, and I want to meet him on a different, I don't want to meet him on no, I'm out there DJing. I want to like meet him as
boss
a fan.
The boss.
Yeah, as a fan, yeah. As a boss. It's like, Mike, I love you since North Carolina. I'm a big fan of yours. I love what you do. You're one of the greatest to ever do it. give me a couple of secrets on how you did this. Can I get a picture with you? You want to smoke a blunt? Hey, man, it's been real.
He doesn't want to meet Michael Jordan, like working for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that. Yeah. But how? $2 million is a lot of money.
Have you ever turned down that much, Roz?
$2 million?
What's the most you've turned down?
I'm not telling you how much money I've turned down. Jesus. Have I turned down? No, I haven't.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yesterday down in Uvalde, Texas, gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke sort of stormed this press conference that was going on with Greg Abbott? Is that the governor down there?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were talking to media, and then Beto O'Rourke walks up, and then there's just all this, like, everybody's just yelling at him to try and get him out of there. And then if you listen, the mayor of Uvalde is the one that calls him an SOB. Listen to this.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Sit down.
Shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, you need to get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable when you...
Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you are out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue.
Wow, just so chaos, huh?
Both sides. One side was like, I can't believe that Beto O'Rourke showed up to make this all about him and a political issue. And the other side is all saying, you know, somebody has to do something. And so Beto O'Rourke met with reporters outside of that press conference immediately after.
He should not have been able to buy an AR-15 right there. Do you want a solution? Stop selling AR-15s in the state of Texas. You want a solution? Have universal background checks. We don't have them. You want a solution? Red flag laws or extreme risk protection orders, which stop a shooting before it happens. You want a solution? Safe storage laws. Those are four solutions that have been brought up by the people of Texas. Each one of those has broad bipartisan support right now. We could get that done if we had a governor who cared more about the people of Texas than he does his own political career or his fealty to the NRA. And if you need any proof of that, check the schedule for the NRA's convention this Friday right here in the state of Texas. Five of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history right in this state on his watch. What does he do about it? He goes to the NRA convention to brag about how easy he has made it to purchase guns in this state and to carry them publicly without a background check, without any training or vetting whatsoever.
Damn, man.
So new information coming out. So the gunman, the 18-year-old, apparently there was a standoff that lasted about an hour.
At the school.
Yeah, before police stormed into the classroom. Like, the whole event took place over the course of an hour. So after the shooting in the school happened, he was still in there. I guess he barricaded himself in the classroom, and then they came up with some sort of plan to go in. But I also believe that there was an armed security guard at that school at the time. So mm-hmm. I know that that's what a lot of people are saying is armed teachers, which is ridiculous to put that on teachers or have security guards in there. But I believe that this was a school that actually had that. And then also there was a girl in Germany, in Frankfurt, Germany, who had been texting with the gunman. And she said that, like, they would just play video games together over the internet. And then he wrote her saying that he was complaining about his grandmother because they were having a fight over the cell phone bill. And then he wrote her saying that it's annoying. And then 6 minutes later, he said, I just shot her. And then minutes after that, he said,
oh,
I'm going to go shoot up an elementary school right now.
My God.
So he was texting this to two different people. This girl in Germany, who her parents, she's 15, and her parents let her do an interview. So she was getting these messages before this all happened.
And what did it say what she did?
What are you going to do?
You're in Germany, but.
You don't even know. Like, how do you even react in a situation like that? But it was instantaneous. Like, this all happened. Like, when he sent her that message, he left the house. Like, the grandmother at this point was already shot. And then he took her truck and left the house. But my God, terrible.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Ellen DeGeneres' last show is today. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Do we know who's on it?
We do. Jennifer Aniston, Pink, and Billie Eilish are the confirmed announced guests, but I'm sure that they're going to bring out, you know, how many of her people. Yeah. Up to this point, the Ellen show has released, like, they've been really good at releasing clips to promote this sort of final season. But here, I'll play you what they released. And so far, is this still the only thing released, Maureen?
Yes. No, this is sort of cut down. It was a montage of all of her entrances over the 20 years.
Right.
And it ends with what you're going to hear here, which is today's entrance.
Okay.
Here she is now, Ellen DeGeneres.
Welcome to our very last show.
And that's it.
Oh. Not even welcome to our very last show. I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
No. Be kind, everybody. Yeah. Be kind.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.